Welcome to Bike Tourist Podcast. This is the podcast for bike tourists all around the world. This is show number 2, and if you are new to the show, welcome. Today we have quite a loaded agenda. We're going to discuss several things regarding bike touring. And we are going to have an interview. So today is going to be really fun. Okay, first, what is touring? Okay, several people can think about touring as something like, the race Tour de France, for example, in which there are a bunch of riders running around at speed, going up hills and stuff. And, practically leaving their remains on the road in order to win a prize. When we refer to bike touring, we are not talking about that. When we talk about bike touring, we are talking about having fun, exploring, having a great time, maybe 1 day, 2, 3 days, 1 month. It depends on the kind of tour you want to do. When you decide to go on touring, you decide to explore in a way that is not possible when you are going maybe in a car or maybe on a tour from a company, that you go on a bus and they are telling you this is that, whatever, and you just look, and you stop where they stop, they do the stop, and you look around. It's different than that. When you are touring on a bike, you are free. You choose your road, you choose most of your conditions, and you go wherever you want to go. And also you plan to go somewhere, and you might find other things that you might not plan on finding. So this is what makes bike touring more interesting. And how do you do that? There are several ways that I know of. If you are watching the show, and you have another idea or have done something different from what I'm talking here, you just feel free to leave your comments at the website. Which is biketourist.podomatic.com. Okay, there are three kind of tourings that I'm going to discuss here. The first one is loaded touring, then credit card touring, and supported touring. Let's talk up first about the credit card touring. Credit card touring is a kind of touring in which you plan a route, and in the planning you choose several hotels along the route. So you say, for example, I'm going to run like 50 or 100 miles per day, and in this the place I am going to arrive, there are several hotels in which I may arrangement or may not make arrangement. It depends on what happened on the road, and when you are going on the roads, many things can happen that change your plans, and this is part of the game. But basically, your equipment is minimal. You bring your hydration equipment, obviously a set of tools for maintaining your bike, pump, etc. But maybe a change of clothes, but nothing else. On loaded touring, basically you are going with everything you need for the road. You have your bike, obviously. And the hydration equipment, tools, clothing, but also cooking equipment, maybe a sleeping bag, tent, depending on the kind of tour and how long you are going to be out and where you will be touring. The other kind of tour is supported touring. This kind of tour is basically similar to the credit card in some respects, and similar to the loaded touring in some respects. The only difference is that you will be rolling on the road, and there will be somebody on a car, on a van, nearby, keeping tabs on you, and carrying most of the equipment and stuff and tools that you are going to use. You just concentrate on riding, and the person on the vehicle Basically, go ahead of you, do a reservation for a hotel, wait you at the destination, and then every day is the same routine. So that said, let's go on to the interview of the day, the first interview of the podcast, and we are going to have here Mr. Wade Pearson, and he lives in St. Louis, Missouri, and he had done a tour in his past. Right now he's not touring, but he's contemplating on going back on touring. So, Wade, talk to the audience and present yourself. How did you tell us how did you get into touring?
Well, I got into touring because I had been riding pretty seriously for a couple of years. I had This was around the end of the time I was in high school. I had recently gotten a nice road bike, and I had started training with some bicycle racers that had a bike club, and I would ride with them a lot. And after my first, well, when I was away at my first year in college, I sort of started thinking that going on a solo bike tour would be a fun thing to do. So that was kind of how I got into it, just, riding more and wanting to do more of it. And, sort of I was a little bit more free and on my own, so it sounded like the time to go out and do something like that. So, I spent most of the summer after my first year in college getting ready for it, and then at the end of that summer, I spent a couple of weeks and did the tour.
Okay. What kind of tour did you do? You know that I talk here about loaded tour, credit card tour. What kind of tour was it?
It was essentially a loaded tour, with the exception that I didn't pack all of the food that I needed with me at once. I would buy food as I needed it along the road. I would maybe carry a couple of days' supplies, and when I came to the end of a day, I would find a grocery store and, find some canned food or something that I could heat up,
Okay,
and that's how
so
I would do it.
basically you bring your cooking equipment with you.
Yes, I had a camp stove. I had a small tent, sleeping bag, few changes of clothes, and a few other things that I probably shouldn't have brought along because they were too heavy.
How did you load all this stuff in the bike? What did you use for? Did you use panniers and racks and stuff? Well, tell us about it.
Yeah, I had two medium-sized panniers in the rear, a rack in the rear, and a handlebar bag up front. So yeah, I would load cooking equipment and the like into the panniers, extra clothing into the panniers, repair equipment, the tent, sleeping pad, and sleeping bag went on top of the rear rack, and then some other smaller things that I needed went into the handlebar bag.
And where did you go on that tour?
Well, I grew up in Fargo, North Dakota, and my plan for that tour was to bike pretty much halfway around the state of North Dakota. So Fargo is in the east central part of the state of North Dakota, and my plan was to bike around the southern half of the state to go close to the southern border with South Dakota, head west from there and go all the way towards the western side of the state.
So how many miles are we talking about?
We were talking about probably 1,500 miles.
Wow.
That wasn't as far as I ended up going.
Okay.
I only did about 800.
Okay.
But
Which is pretty much. This is what I rode on my bike last year.
Yeah, well, that's probably more than I rode on my bike last year, I'm afraid to say. But yeah, it was an ambitious plan, and given that I probably didn't have the top quality equipment for the job, it was overly ambitious, and I also had some time constraints too.
Yeah, I'll talk us about that because many people here, me included, are going to do long tours for the first time. So we would like to know what problems arose when you were touring.
Okay. Well, first of all, the bike that I had was what they called back then, and maybe they still call it, a sport touring bike. So it wasn't a dedicated touring bike. And that meant that it has a shorter wheelbase. And one of the major problems with that is that if you don't have your panniers far enough back on the rack, you can have clearance problems with the heel as you pedal. So
you might actually strike the pannier.
Yeah, so with the equipment that I had, it was a little bit difficult really getting it set up properly.
Okay.
And likewise, the handlebar bag, people had told me that a handlebar bag was a good idea, but probably low panniers over the front tires would have been a better idea. I also could have used a lower gears than the bike came with. I had swapped out the rear cogs, actually the whole rear freewheel, with a freewheel that had larger cogs on it. But the truth was, I actually needed even lower gears than I had.
So maybe the lower crank was not low enough.
No, it definitely wasn't. And like I said, it wasn't really a dedicated touring bike, so it only had two chain rings.
Ah.
Yeah. You know, back in, you know, this was 21 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was not so common to find three chain rings on a bike then.
Yeah, this is one thing I want to remind the listeners, that when you're going touring, it's not just you and the bike. It's all you're carrying plus the terrain you're going to go. You might go... Dakota, it might be flat in some places, but there might be hills. Many people, I have read some journals at some places that when they start climbing the big hills, it was a different story. At the first bike shop, they had to stop. The first thing they do is change the low crank. Because to maybe a 26 tooth or 24 to help in on getting on those climbs.
Yeah, and that was certainly a problem that I encountered. I mean, I really didn't expect that the hills are going to be quite as steep as they were. Eastern North Dakota is absolutely flat. There are no hills. It's as flat as a pancake. But when you get 100 miles outside of that, then you start getting hills, and it's small hills up and down all the way to the Missouri River in the center of the state.
So you were alone on this tour, or you were with some friends?
Yeah, I was alone on it. Oh. I did it as a solo tour. And again, that was another thing where, you know, had I not been young and cocky, I maybe would have decided differently. Some of the people in my bike club, when they heard I was going on this, they said, "Wait, are you sure you want to go out on that all alone?" And it's like, "Don't you think you're going to get lonesome out there?" "Oh, no, I'll be fine." Well... it was a little bit lonesome, because in southern North Dakota there aren't very many people. I mean, there really aren't very many people at all.
So basically, you might end up with a problem in the middle of nowhere, so to speak.
Yes, you could. And I was lucky that I didn't really have any big problems. I mean, there are people out there, but you know, maybe you would only see two or three cars pass you in an hour. Oh. I mean, it's very open.
Same as here in the island. I don't know. But, yeah, I say that because this is exactly the contrary. You know, you see cars even at 3 a.m., you know?
Yes, yes. It's a very different, situation.
And actually, it's more dangerous at that time. Yeah, it's more dangerous. Okay, what items from what you bring on your tour prove to be an absolute necessity out there in the road?
Emergency food, actually. I would say, you know, having a little stash of some high calorie sugary food, very important, because if it's 50 miles between towns, and some of the places where I was heading it would have been that far, if you run out of energy in a situation like that, you're in big trouble. So that's one thing, very important.
Yeah.
For that particular tour, having having rain gear and warm clothing ended up being very important. I did this tour, I believe it was end of August, early September, and in North Dakota, the weather can turn very quickly that time of year, and some of the nights it was approaching freezing temperature. Wow. So having the right clothing was important.
So where you stayed, you bring your tent with you, you just stop wherever the night caught up with you?
You know, I probably could have just stopped anywhere and, you know, pitched my tent in the trees by someone's farm, and I don't think they would have cared. I planned the route so that I would stop at state parks and, places like that, that had designated campgrounds. But another thing that was very nice, that was kind of a revelation to me in North Dakota, was that in many of these small towns of 200-300 people, they would have little parks in the towns, and you could camp in the park, and it wasn't simply that you could camp there, but they had shower facilities.
Wow.
I mean, they had a very nice place to camp, and probably only two or three people used the camp all year. But it was very nice because you didn't have to be dirty and cold and miserable the whole time. You could have a nice hot shower for free.
So it would be like a case where all townspeople know this place is there. Nobody uses it. They see this guy using it. Oh, yeah, look at that weirdo.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was either look at the weirdo or, hey, stranger, who are you? You know, nice to see that someone's using the facilities over here. We don't have too many people use them. Most of the people that would use them, they said, were motorcycle riders that would go through on their way to the big motorcycle rally in Sturgis, South Dakota.
So basically most of the people you found on the road were friendly?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And you know, this was, like I said, 20 years ago. You didn't see people going around in Lycra bicycle gear with brightly colored bike jerseys very commonly then. So people were usually very friendly and a little bit curious about who you were, and they were wondering, are you in some sort of a race or what? But no, it ended up being a good experience.
Are you running for freedom? Are you running for this? It comes to mind. On the other side of the coin, what items proved to be of no need that you bring and you say, oh, I should have left this at home?
Reading material. I shouldn't have brought a book to read because I was too tired at the end of the day to read anything. It was usually dark by the time I was done writing anyway. Bringing a book along was absolutely foolish. And same thing for, I had a little portable Walkman cassette player. I mean, in this day and age, maybe something like an iPod would be okay. But, you know, after its 8 hours are gone, where are you going to charge it up? So that would probably be pretty useless.
Yeah, that's a concern that all of you touring cyclists to be need to consider. You are going to be out there. You are going to be, like the case of Wade, we're going to be alone, far from many things. So if you bring something that needs batteries, make sure you have the way to recharge. Some people on recent tours are using like solar chargers and stuff, but this is more stuff to carry.
Yeah, and one of the things you find after a while is that you want to get rid of every extra bit of weight that you have. I mean, maybe if you're in better shape for it than I was. Actually, I was in pretty good shape for it, I have to say. I mean, I wasn't used to the hills. But so maybe with a little bit better equipment, it wouldn't have bothered me as much. But yeah, you don't want stuff that you don't need.
Okay, to make this into a close. Do you have any story, any fun thing that happened to you during the tour that you would like to share with the audience?
Oh, let's see. Well, you know, there, I could have fun stories. I could have tragic stories. maybe the first one Okay, here's a good one. So, and this was actually towards the end of the trip. I had gone halfway across the state, and I was gone back north, and was doubling back, going east now over a different route. I camped in a little town called Goodrich, North Dakota, pretty much smack dab in the center of the state. It's a part of the state that's very, very marshy. There are a lot of small ponds there. A lot of wildlife like ducks breed there. It's some of the best habitat in the world for that. Mm-hmm. Well, this town is right across the highway from this little marsh, and you could see that the traffic going on this highway had been running over salamanders, little amphibians.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And apparently what they do that year is they move from wherever they've been over the summer back to the marsh for hibernating over the winter. So, thousands of these things get killed on the road.
Yeah.
So, I noticed this, and it's like, well, that's very interesting. And pitched my tent, slept, had breakfast, was packing up. So I take down my tent, and I notice that underneath my tent there were like a dozen of these salamanders.
Uh-huh.
And maybe this doesn't seem all that strange in the retelling, but it was, I had no idea that there were all of these little animals sleeping underneath me all night, but then you roll up the tent and these little slimy critters go scurrying out from underneath.
Maybe they were
looking
for some heat or something.
Well, they certainly got that. They wanted to get out of the rain.
So can you imagine just like some kind of adventure or something? Oh, I'm going to sleep under the stars. What could happen?
Yeah, it's any number of things. I mean, at least that part of the country isn't too dangerous. There aren't too many wild animals there. But yeah, if you were further west, there would be bears. Even there are coyotes, things like that.
Yeah, but you might come up in the morning all covered with these small things.
Well, the mosquitoes would be a worse problem, I think. Yeah. But yeah, it's...
I think mosquitoes are a problem everywhere.
Oh, yes. Yes, they're...
Since I live here in a tropical zone... I thought that mosquitoes were just a tropical problem. And I'm reading some tours from some people. I have come to realize that mosquitoes are everywhere.
Yeah, they're just in the northern parts of the northern hemisphere. They're there intensely, but only for 2 or 3 months out of the year when there's, not snow.
Were they a problem on this tour?
Not that I remember. I mean, wind and rain was a problem.
They didn't.
Wind and rain was a problem, but no, I was moving most of the time.
Okay, wait. You were mentioning that you were thinking about going back to touring sometime in the future, right?
Yeah, I've toyed with the idea a little bit in Missouri, where I live. There's a rails, one of these rail to trail conversions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A place that's called the Katy Trail. It's a state park that goes all the way across the state, basically. It used to be the, what was it, Kansas-Texas rail line, I think. Don't quote me on that. So there's a rails-to-trail that goes most of the way across the state, very close to where I live. It would probably be a pretty easy ride, really. So yeah. I'm thinking of maybe doing that.
Okay, so Wade, thank you very much for being here and being part of the Back Tourist podcast. If any of you want to give make comments on this show, remember to go to www.backtourist.podomatic.com and leave your comment over there. You can also call my phone, which is 206-339-4425, and leave a voice message over there. The information you have is good enough, I might even include it on the show. So use it. This number is there. Call me. You know? So thank you very much again to Wade Pearson for sharing with us his experience on touring. For me, we are running a bit long on the show. It took longer than I was planning, but this is life, you know? You know, I not plan going exact second by second and minute by minute, but we all have other things to do. Keep on touring, keep on riding. This is Bike Tourist Podcast. Until the next show.